Your Majesty. We declare Your Majesty. We proclaim.
This is Brother Joseph, amen. It's 9:03 in the morning. Today is June the 12th, 2022, amen. And got a lot of material to cover today. Once again, you know, the word, amen. There's plenty to get involved in, amen. Plenty to help us understand this walk with the Lord, amen. This kingdom living, amen. Kingdom culture, amen. And we'll be talking a lot about, you know, the kingdom today, because you know, one of the things about Jesus is that when he came down from heaven, he brought the kingdom culture with him, how things are in heaven, right? And I want to post a series of podcasts that have been performed. And this is a brother Randy, and there's a brother named Brother Joe, and he's the one that's doing the podcast. But these are very, very enlightening, very powerful, very reaffirming to me as a son of God, amen. And I enjoy hearing God's word, amen, and listening to these stories and things that reaffirm, right? Reaffirm these teachings and all these principles and this kingdom of God. And I encourage you to watch those. Some of them are 2 hours, some are 1 hour, some are smaller, you know. But those are excellent broadcasts that have been performed, and they're still going on, from what I understand. It's 9:04, so let's go ahead and pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord God, for this wonderful day. I thank you, Lord God, for my brothers and sisters, Lord God, that are already partaking today. I thank you for those that will partake in the future. I thank you, Lord Jesus, how you shared us, how you taught us that man should not live by bread alone, but by every rhema, every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God does man live, amen. And I need you, Father. I need your word, Father. I need you, Father God, and I thank you, Lord God, that the word, the seed is the word of God, amen, and it grows 30, 60, and 100 fold in our hearts, amen. And I pray for that seed to continue to grow in our hearts, amen, as this kingdom expands in our understanding, Lord of God, that we might understand what Paul saw, amen, what Jesus came down to bring us, this kingdom of God, amen, the origin being the kingdom of heaven. What you came to show us and what you came to reveal to us, Lord God, I pray that it would be understood, Father God, and I pray that the eyes of our understanding will be enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of our calling, amen, that we may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, amen, and to the whole the love of God which passes knowledge, amen. I thank you, Lord God, for this precious day, Father, and I bless you in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Well, like I said, you know, this kingdom culture, right, what came down to the earth, you know, when Jesus came down. And it's funny because, you know, this the whole plot and the whole plan of Satan was to bring confusion. That's what Babylon means, right? The Tower of Babel. The Bible says that God confused their languages because he didn't want them getting together to be able to accomplish. As he said, if they put their minds to it and their hearts to it, they're going to be able to accomplish something here that we don't want them to accomplish. In other words, we don't want them to approach us the wrong way, because you can't get to God without righteousness, amen. Without the blood of Jesus Christ, we can't even approach the throne, amen. And so, anyway, we don't want it coming up another way. We want it to come up the right way, amen. We want to do it the will of God, which is the word of God, which is the way of God, which is the work of God. We want, as sons of God in the kingdom of God, we want to represent our Father and do it the way of God, amen. And that's kind of what's missing in the brothers and sisters' lives out there, is that they don't understand that, as the scripture says, there is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is the way of death. See, when you take off and you want to do this your way, then you're going to suffer the consequence for that. As the scripture says, as the Father said, is that when you partake of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, surely you shall die. You see, in other words, it doesn't have the breath of the life of God in it. Therefore, it's not going to be eternal. It's going to expire. It's going to be frustrating, amen, to our lives. And so, and we're talking a little bit there about dead works, you see. And when we do it our way instead of the way of God, we are doing dead works. We're performing a work that God doesn't want us to be involved in. So, this we're going to get into the outline, but I wanted to cover a couple of scriptures here. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 5 through 6, it says, Paul says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who hath also made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And there we go right there with what I'm saying, is the letter kills. You see, when we try to do it our own way, it kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now, this word sufficient is something that popped out to me when I was looking at this morning, is that sufficient means enough or sufficient in ability, all right, fit. But it also has the as the description is in Strong's, it says to arrive competent, as if coming in season. That is ample in amount or fitting character. You know, one of the things about understanding how we operate with God is that we have to know what season we're in, right? What season are you in, Brother Joseph? What season are you in, brothers out there that are listening right now? Sisters, amen? What season of your life are you in with God? Well, what's going on with your life? Well, you know, for me, for example, I had a major transition. I had a new job that I started, and things are going well, and I'm happy. You know, but there's a lot of peace with it. And so the season, you know, that I see God that he's brought me in is a scripture. There's a scripture in Jeremiah where Jeremiah was talking, I'm not sure to who, but the Lord gave the word that says that because you have trusted me, trusted the Lord, I'm giving you your life as a prey. The word life is the word nefesh, which is soul. In other words, Brother Joseph, this is what Billy God is saying to me, is that I'm giving you your life for a prey. In other words, because you've disciplined yourself, you walked with me, you related to me, you have a relationship with me, you take my word and you feed on my word daily, and so on and so on. And because you're seeking my order, my will, my word, my way, my work, you don't want to do it. I don't want to do it my way. I want to do it the way of God. See, and so because of that, you know, that's why I believe God brought that to me. And the evidence is revealed in the natural realm. All right. So again, as they're coming in season, ample in amount or fit in character. Now, the scripture says able ministers, right? Now, one thing about, well, I also wanted to look here is that this word sufficient comes from another Greek word that says enabled, that is qualified. Now, what we're going to get into today is talking about understanding authority, right? And what does that mean, right? Let me pull something up here for myself as a note. Understanding authority, you see, and what that means to our lives, right? Why is it important for us to understand authority? Well, last week I covered a little bit about as we walk in maturity, we learn to recognize authority everywhere we go. You see, authority is not just God. Authority is the way of God, right? Everywhere we go, there's authority. You have to walk in boundaries. You have to, if you go to a library, if you go to Walmart, if you go to a grocery store, if you're out there in the city, you know, you have to abide by the laws that are posted, for example, stop signs and so on. I mean, if we're in a grocery store, you know, you shouldn't be taking things that you're not paying for. That's called stealing. As the scripture says, let him that stole steal no more. Amen. But so in understanding this is that when we're under authority, you're not only able to represent authority, you're qualified to represent authority, all right? And what does that mean? Well, we're going to get into that today. And but that's very interesting to me is that, you know, you have to be qualified to represent God. You can't just because you know the Word of God, for example, doesn't mean that God wants you to say something, right? There's a distinction here. We're talking about being led of the Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 14, for as many as are led of the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. All right, the sons of God are the weos. The word sons is the word weos, which means fully matured. And as you come into maturity, you learn to represent God and able to be led of the Spirit. All right. Now, as a minister, you think because you have a title, or for example, you think because you have a piece of paper that came from a school that you attended, a seminary or whatever, that entitles you to be a minister. Well, interesting thing about the word minister here, able ministers, all right? And this is a Greek word it's the Greek word diakonia, diakonos. Diakonos means one who executes the commands of another, especially of a master, a servant, an attendant, a minister. All right? One that runs errands, amen? A waiter, for example. Waiters are ministers. As Jesus says, the greatest one among you is the one who serves. You see, one who's able to minister with the right attitude. Now, so like I'm talking about here is that you have a culture that's Babylonian, and the system and the output that they produce, all right, the ministers, if you will, that they produce are all primarily for themselves, right? But in the kingdom of God, as sons of God, we represent the Father, and we want the Father to be honored. We want the Father to be glorified. We lift up Jesus Christ, amen. That honors the Father. If you've seen the Father, you've seen the Son. If you lift Jesus up, you're lifting the Father up, because this is the way of God. All right? And this is what we want as sons of God, amen. We want the will of God. We want the glory of God. We don't want to walk, go out in our own glory, right? Now, so, again, qualified, right? Enabled, amen. So, you have those that, because they have a piece of paper from a school, seminary that they went into, which they didn't learn anything about the kingdom of God, the culture of God, in other words, which, like I said, Jesus, when he came down, he brought God's culture, the kingdom culture, with him. And he showed us these things. He showed us how to minister. He showed us how to take dominion. Amen. He showed us how to be led of the Spirit. When he ascended, he helped us understand his priestly ministry and what that was all about. As Melchizedek, kings and priests, amen. Kings of peace, king of priests, kings and priests, amen. And because of that, we know how to bring the peace of God, amen, the rule of God. The rule of God brings the peace of God. Everywhere we go, we dominate in the Spirit as kings, not dominating the land, right? Not dominion, not trying to take land by natural means, right? Weapons and so on, of man-made weapons. So a son of God, amen, is only wanting to represent and please the Father, amen. That's his desire, not pleasing man, not doing it the way of man and his Babylonian foolishness, the Babylonian culture, right? What is it producing? All right? Well, we see the results of what it's produced, and the world has had enough. They're full, in other words. As the scripture says, the full soul loathes the honeycomb, but to him that is hungry, every bitter thing is sweet. The full soul loathed the honeycomb. See, in other words, you know, I don't necessarily broadcast that I'm a Christian, all right, that I'm a son of God. I'm not interested in promoting myself. I'm not interested in bringing reputation to myself, all right? Look at me, look at me, look at me. And the other day, I had a desire to go to lunch at this particular place. And I had it for 3 or 4 days, you know, and it just wasn't working out. I wasn't able to get over there to this place. It's close to work and so on. But I made a conscious choice on this past Wednesday. And when I got there, I walked in. They seated me. Then I was going to go walk, get some food. And I saw a gentleman, as I was walking in, I saw a gentleman reading this book. And then when I turned around and looked back after they seated me, I looked and he had a Bible on the table, you know, so I figured this guy's a brother, right? Well, I started sharing with him and talking to him, and I had to ask him twice because, you know, he didn't really want me to be there. But I went ahead and sat down with him, and we had lunch together, and we started talking about the kingdom of God, you know, and I was sharing the scripture with him how that, you know, the Babylonian system, they don't want the sons of God to preach the kingdom of God to them. They don't want to hear about God. Let's see if I can recall that scripture. They don't want to, don't prophesy. It says, don't prophesy unto us right things. All right? Let me find this right. And this comes out of Isaiah. This is Isaiah 30, verse 10. So, he says here in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 10, and this is what I started talking to him about. That's why I'm bringing this up here. Verse 10, he says, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. All right? This word unto us right things is a Greek word here that means to stand in front of, all right, to be in front, straight and right. In other words, a truth. Don't be a witness of the truth to us. Don't tell us things that we don't want to hear. And it's interesting in situations that I've been in and different fellowships that I've visited and so on, I'm trying to be a partaker and trying to get involved in these fellowships, is that the kingdom of God and the culture of what it's delivered to me and what it's shown me about who Jesus is a representative of God on the earth, all right, as a son of God. Well, I want to be like Christ was. And Christ wasn't about going to church. All right. He wasn't about just going to a meeting because or a fellowship, right? Just because it was the right thing to do. He represented God. All right. Now, in times past, I've had brothers that I've talked to, and they ask me, well, are you going to a fellowship, you know? And I let them know, you know, yes, I have visited certain fellowships and stuff, and they're like, oh, okay. In other words, the Babylonian culture is that if you're not involved in the body of Christ somewhere, then something's wrong. Well, that's not true, because there's only one place that I know of, glory to God, and there I see the kingdom church, if you will, of what God had wanted and instituted through Christ. I say, when he said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will prevail. And but anyway, the point is that the culture of the Babylonian system has all these traditions and things that are not even of God, that are not of God. They don't represent the word of God, that there's, you know, as Jesus said, you search the scriptures, when he talked to him about the traditions of men. And then he said, search the scriptures, for they are they which testify of me. And one of the things that this brother said, you know, he was going off on a lot of things, you know. And I was kind of being selective about what I was going to share, you know, because it was striking me. But, you know, the organization that he was a part of, you know, they're very, very tight, if you will, with their culture, if you will, and their beliefs. And if you're not of us, obviously you can't be of us, right? Which is not the culture of the kingdom of God and what God was trying to implement as sons and daughters in the earth, right? That represent him. But we went on and on and on and talking about the kingdom of God, and I was sharing different things with them. But finally, you know, I had to leave, and basically, hopefully this next Wednesday I'll be able to meet with them some more. And but once again, you know, making disciples, you know, bringing forth the seeds of the kingdom of God, which, and that's another thing, is the seed is not money. Seed is the word of God. The seed of the kingdom of God is the word of God, not money. I remember this was something I was sharing with the brother too, is that I was watching a program on television, you know, a religious program, and the individual says, you know, get your seed ready. Well, that right there, man, the Holy Ghost quickened me, says the seed is not money. The seed is the word of the kingdom of God. Amen. Not money. You know, so we've got all this foolishness out there, man, that people are involved in that's not even part of God. And so as a result of all this foolishness that the Babylonian system has brought forth and all these, you know, teachings that are not of God, right? The foundation that the Babylonian system is built on is not of God. And so therefore, because of this, everything that's structured and built on the foundation of the Babylonian system, as God told Jeremiah, has to be rooted out, pulled down, thrown down, and destroyed, and then build and plant. You can't build on another man's foundation, as Paul says. I will not, he said. I'm not going to sit there and try to filter and through all this perversion. And many of us out there are out there on the edge, right? We're hearing the kingdom message, and we're trying to figure out how to filter it back out through Babylon. You can't do it. You've got to root out, pull down, throw down, destroy, and then build and plant. As Jesus said, you must come to the kingdom as a little child. You cannot come in with your preconceived ideas of what you think God's kingdom is. And this culture that Jesus Christ brought down to the earth, watch this. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, teachers, guess what? They came from heaven. One of the things that the brother said when I was talking to him is that, you know, we know that apostles and prophets are not anymore of today. Well, that's not true, because how can you make a statement like that knowing that God's word is eternal? How can you put a cap on that? How can you put a fence around that and say, we can't do this anymore, it's not of God anymore? That doesn't make any sense. Why would he start out building it as 1 Corinthians 12:28, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers? Why would Paul state this if it wasn't the God, something that is of God for today? You understand? So we got a lot of things that have been built on the wrong foundation. And guess what? When the pressure comes, when the flood comes, when the rains come, that house is going to fall. All those ideas and structures that have been built on foolishness, nothing but foolishness, all right, Babylonian confusion, all that stuff's going to come down in the hearts of the people, all right? And the world's already full of it, right? They don't want to hear anything about God because of the Babylonian confusion and the foundation that the Babylon system has laid, the culture that it's brought forth. That's not God, man. God is not about his own little cliques, and we have our denomination here and a denomination there and so on and so on and so on. We know this, right? 1 Corinthians 3:1, and as Paul, right, talking here, he says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, I couldn't speak unto you as spiritual, but I had to speak unto you as carnal." All right? For you're your babes. In other words, you're still carnal. One of you is saying I'm of Cephas. The other is saying I'm of Paul and I'm of Apollos. Come on, man. That's not what the kingdom of God is about. The kingdom of God is Jesus Christ came to the earth. And he showed us God, deity and humanity. Amen? He showed us both sides. He was a son of man, son of God. Son of man was the we us of man, we us of God. Both sides, amen? And even so, we are also deity and humanity. Deity in my spirit and in the principles of my mind and what I believe according to the word of God, my soul, my mind, will, and my emotions, right? Be not conformed, Romans 12:2, to this cosmos, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And that's Romans chapter 12, right? Be not conformed to this age, actually, is the world there. World. Don't operate like this, the world does, right? And the way they believe and so on, but that we may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Amen? Because your mind is transfigured. Metamorphosis is the word there. Transform. Be ye transformed. Be ye metamorphosed. Just like a caterpillar goes through, right? It's interesting. I bought some caterpillars recently, and I had them mailed to me online. I've got them on some plants, that they're host plants. And I want to see the process. I want to see the process of that caterpillar growing up as big as he's going to get, document with some pictures, and then I want to see the chrysalis grow around him. Amen. And then I want to wait and wait and patiently wait and wait for that manifestation of when that butterfly comes forth. I want to see this. I want to understand it. Amen. Because this is a representation. If you look, as the scripture says, all things declare God's glory. If you look at this insect, this caterpillar, and what he's going to become, it testifies of the glory of God, of us being manifested and changed and transfigured into Jesus Christ. In other words, the way he is, Son of God. So, again, I want to be a representative of God on this earth. I don't want to be following after myself, amen, following after mankind, trying to build a man's ministry, and so on. And now, again, so, let's see what else I got here. So if you remember now, the centurion, he encountered authority, right? He encountered Jesus Christ. When you encounter the kingdom of God, you're encountering authority. You're encountering a culture and an understanding and a lifestyle that directs and manages your life by the ordinances, by the word, in other words. And the scripture says if you resist the ordinance, you resist the authority, Romans chapter 12, verse 2. So we don't want to do this. We want to represent God. So again, what is authority for, right? Why do we have authority? Why do we need to understand authority, right? And so, again, does the soul have authority? No, he doesn't, because authority is only comes from the spirit. The soul can only manipulate, intimidate, and exploit, but he has no authority. Authority came from God. Amen. Romans chapter 13, verse 1, all authority is of God. Therefore, authority is of the spirit realm. It's not of the natural realm. All right? So, why? Why do we have authority? Well, if we don't understand authority, then we're not going to understand the forms, the fashions of going in, the comings out, and so on, of how to come and approach God, how to manage, if you will, our lives before the Father. And one thing about not being under authority is that we're not qualified to represent God if we don't obey his word. Amen? And so we need to understand that the reason we have authority everywhere we go is that, first of all, Paul said, and we're going to get this in the outline a little bit, But Paul says that our authority was for your edification. It's to help build you up and bring you to maturity, not for us. And so, you know, when we're involved in sin in our lives, carnality in our lives, all right, carnality are the sins of the flesh, all right? When we're involved as a sarkikos man, sarks is flesh, all right, then what we're doing is that we're keeping the open door to the devil. Because when we're involved in sin, we're under the authority of Satan in our lives. And therefore, the door is open to the demonic realm, and they can come in and out anytime they want because we're not representing God, all right? And now you can sit there and declare and proclaim all you want that you've got authority in the Lord, all right? But if you're not submitted to the ordinance, the word of God, then you have no authority. And it's the same principle everything with everything else, with the library, with the Walmart, with the grocery store out there in the city, et cetera, et cetera. Everything has ordinances and guidelines that we've got to adhere to if we want to be involved in that, right? When you go take a flight, right, somewhere, there's all these ordinances and things that you have to go through, all right, to get to the end result, to get on that plane and get to your destination. And if you don't follow the authority, the ordinance, you ain't getting nowhere. So if you're not under authority, you're not qualified to represent. So if we resist ordinances, we resist God. We resist authority, all right? So again, remember that Satan understands authority. But when he tried to change the culture of the kingdom of God, guess what? Jesus said, I beheld Satan fall like lightning. You're trying to introduce an understanding and a principle here, Satan, which is, remember, the name was Lucifer, the anointed cherub, the covereth. That's what he was before he was Satan. And Satan's not even his name. It's just a description of who he is. He is what he does in his nature. Sin nature, you see. So, again, he tried to change the culture of God and the kingdom of God. But Jesus said, I beheld Satan fall like lightning. And guess what? Now he's in the earth as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And every time the Christian leaves the door open, guess what? He's coming in. And how do you leave the door open? You're involved in something that's not of God, you see. So, we have to keep the door closed, amen. We have to know what to allow and what not allow in our lives, all right? Now, Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 10, 38 and 39. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that finds his life, his soul, his mind, will, and motion shall lose it. He that loses his soul for my sake shall find it. And that's the principle that I was talking about earlier when Jeremiah said that he's given you your soul for a prey because you've trusted in God. I forgot what the gentleman's name is that he was talking to, but it's the same principle here, right? Matthew 16, starting with verse 24, Jesus said, Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. The denying of yourself means that you deny yourself the right to make a choice outside of God. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, if I need a refrigerator, I gotta sit there and see God for 10 days to find a refrigerator. No, you have to use wisdom, right? You got to know how to manage these things with wisdom, right? But the point is that for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his suke, his soul for my sake, shall find it. Now, for what is it profited if he shall gain, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own suke, soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man came in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his work. And one thing about this is, it says that the Son of Man comes in the glory of the Father. The Son does not manifest his own glory and come in his own glory. He comes in the glory of the Father. And like I said, so when I encountered this brother, you know, you got one side that's coming to represent God, you got another side that's coming to represent an organization, right? One is coming in the Lord, the other is coming in the name of himself and his organization. So now that brings me to the outline here. And we want to start out here with Titus chapter 2, okay? In the first verse here, Titus chapter 2, verse 1, he says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." All right? Now, this word sound here is the word hugiaino, okay? It means to be sound, well, in good health, free from any mixture of errors, to be uncorrupt, true in doctrine. So bespeak thou the things which become healthy, true, sound, pure, uncorrupted doctrine. Amen. These are the things that you should be declaring and share and bringing forward. Now, I want to read this, continue reading this, because he says here that the aged men, verse 2, be sober, grave, temperate, sound is the same Greek word here that I gave you the description of, full of, free of mixtures and errors, pure, all right, in faith, all right, a pure doctrine of faith, amen, not faith for stuff, not faith for man, faith toward God. You know, now every time I see anything that has the word, like, for example, Jude 1:8, all right, praying in the Holy Spirit, building up your most holy word, all right. And that word, let me go look at that. That's interesting. Jude 1:8, verse 20. Building up your most holy, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy. And so when I see the word faith, or I see the word, I always put this little statement in there. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith toward God. All right. And if I see the word, I put the word of faith toward God. All right, because this is where our faith needs to be directed to, right? So he says here, all right. So sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, all right? Healthy, pure faith, amen. Faith in charity, amen, and in patience. The word patience here is hupomene, which means consistency. Luke 21:19, in your patience and your consistency possess your soul. If you don't manage and get that soul under control, guess what? He's going to get you in trouble. Amen. Because you're going to step out into something that's not of your spirit. You're not being directed properly. And then look at this, what he says in verse 3, that the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. All right. Not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. In other words, sober, solid. Again, sound doctrine. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the Logos of God be not blasphemed. Amen. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. Again, sober-minded here is the word somphoroneo. In other words, be of a sound mind. Amen. Don't let, you know, this world and its perversions corrupt your outlook. All right. Don't let this word of God get corrupted. Protect it. So it says here, young men likewise exhort to be sober in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. So in this doctrine, this teachings of the Word of God, incorruptibility, soundness, integrity of mind, amen, purity of doctrine, no corrupt communications proceed out of your mouth. Pure word, amen, pure word coming forth out of your spirit, amen. Oh, praise God. I love about the Lord Jesus how that, let me see if I can find it. I think it's in John chapter 2. Sorry. Verse 334, it says, "For he whom God hath sent," and remember, if you're not packaged up and sealed, you can't be sent, "speaketh the rhemas of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by metron." All right? In other words, you're able to bring forth out of your spirit, be led of the Spirit, be directed of the Spirit, the rhemas, the spoken words of God, right out of your spirit. Amen. And that's what we do as sons of God. These rhemas are just coming out, man. God is bringing revelation, understanding, comprehension. Amen. In him was Zoe. Zoe is the word phos. Zoe is the word that means the life of God. And that life of God brings light. Amen. The light of the kingdom of God. Amen. How we live and how we operate and how we move by this word. Now I want to back up here from Titus, because in leading up to chapter 2, obviously we had chapter 1, right? So in Titus chapter 1, if we take a look at that, and before he led into that verse, chapter 2, verse 1, he's talking about, you know, these rough characters, amen, that are, at verse 10, unruly, vain talkers, deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. So you had a group of guys that were bringing forth a lot of mixture and a lot of untrue doctrine, right? They didn't understand their place, obviously. They didn't understand the kingdom of God. They didn't understand authority. They didn't understand what Paul was doing, obviously. They didn't understand that Paul was moving by the authority of God, amen? So, and then he says, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. In other words, they're not bringing forth sound doctrine, all right? And they're only interested in filling up their pockets, right? In understanding, you know, the giving of tithes, right? The tithe belongs to the Lord, the scripture says. The scripture says that the Aaron priesthood took the tithes, but the scripture says Melchizedek received the tithe. When we give in the kingdom of God the tithe, we're giving with the right attitude. As the scripture says, the Lord loves a cheerful giver, all right? So we don't do it for filthy lucre's sake. We're not trying to make somebody fat in their pockets, all right? As sons of God, we're giving versus taking. And I've been in those situations, those meetings, man, where they might ask you 10 times in one meeting, we got to give, we got to give, we got to give. Get that seed ready. Well, the seed is not money. The seed is the word of God, right? All right, so one of them themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and slow bellies. He says, this witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply that they be of sound in the faith. The word sound, again, here is the Greek word that I just mentioned to you. That means healthy, true in doctrine, pure, and undefiled, you see? All right? Not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure, all things are pure, all right? But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but even their minds and their consciences are defiled. See, in other words, when you're walking after the Spirit of God, amen, the Scripture says God seeketh such to worship him, those that would worship him in spirit and in truth, then all things are pure to you, all right? And anything that's corruptible, all right, impure, you don't want anything to do with it. And then it says, verse 16, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him. The work of the kingdom of God in their hearts, they keep testifying against that very word that's in their hearts by their actions. Abominable and disobedient and unto every good work they reprobate. They against the kingdom of God. And I remember, you know, that in times past, you know, trying to get involved in the fellowship and stuff and saying something that this totally, you know, disrupts this Babylonian thinking, you know. And matter of fact, I remember one day I was sharing in a meeting. I think I was talking about Metron from 2 Corinthians 10. And the lady's eyes that I was talking to started blinking rapidly like, whoa, you know, you're giving me too much. It wasn't really a lot. But what I'm saying is that the Babylonian system can't understand because, again, it's a corrupt system. You see, it's the system can't receive the kingdom of God. That's why I've got it. It has to be rooted out, pulled down, thrown down, and destroyed. And I'm not talking about destroying people. I'm talking about the attitudes and the mind of what we think God is and what the kingdom of God is. All that perversion has to be torn down if it doesn't line up with God. And we, in other words, there's another scripture where they wanted Jesus to go with them, you know, and let's see if I can find this. I think it's in Luke. Well, basically, the script, they wanted Jesus to go with them to the feast, but he wouldn't go with them. And then it says that, I got to find that verse now. Maybe it is John chapter 2. Yeah. So verse 23, John 2:23, John 2:23, and when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name. All right, when they saw the miracles which he did, you have the same instance today, right? Many believe in God's word when they see the miracles that these brothers and sisters are performing. All right, but the problem is that Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all. And needed not that any man should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. You see, everything's got to be rooted out, pulled down, thrown down, destroyed before you get involved in the kingdom of God. And that's why we you know, where are the fathers? Where are the sons of God and the daughters of God that are able to teach and preach and bring forth the kingdom of God with the right motive? Not with the motive of how am I going to get gain from you? How am I going to get your money? How am I going to get your time? How am I going to get you to volunteer in our system and give yourself away to us? How am I going to get you to sacrifice for us? That's not what the kingdom of God is about. He's trying to restore you and build you up so that you can now be a tree, a big tree, that scripture says, that where others can come and lodge and rest, amen, and get refreshment. In other words, the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, amen. Training and teaching other brothers and sisters how to successfully live in the kingdom of God, amen. Because on earth as it is in heaven, amen. Now, so again, Jesus didn't need anybody to testify, man, because he knew what was in man. He already knew that your motive is you, unless you learn to die to yourself, unless you become a servant and become a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, disciplined learner, amen. Now, in Luke 5:31, take a look at that real quick. Luke chapter 5, verse 31, and this is really... And it was enlightening to me when I saw this, because, you know, it's interesting that God will reveal things in his time, you know, right? If you don't need to understand something, he's not going to give it to you. But listen to what Jesus said. Luke chapter 5, verse 31. And Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. See, in other words, they that are whole are the ones in the kingdom of God that understand their inheritance and what Jesus did. Jesus is not going to die again for you. Jesus is not going to heal you again. Jesus is not going to deliver you again. In other words, I've already done all that. I've already given you the work of the kingdom of God in the earth. I've already represented my Father, and I've already shown you the ways of God, and I've already revealed it to my servants, for example, the Apostle Paul, and the mystery of marriage, and for example, the kingdom of God, in other words, showing us on earth what this representation is of a husband and a wife and so on. I've already given you all these things through my servants and so on. So he says, they that are whole, right, need not a physician. You see, when you're walking in the kingdom of God and you're walking in your inheritance as a son of God or daughter of God, you're not intimidated by this world, all right? There's all the world is saying, you know, you got to get a coronavirus, you got to get the whatever, the shot and all that. You know, well, this shot doesn't cover you that way, you better get this shot, and this shot doesn't do it the way, you got to get the other shot. What kind of ridiculous foolishness is that? All right? They that are whole don't need a physician. Amen. But thank God, when we need God as sons of God and daughters of God, we can come to God and declare his word to him. I quote this all the time. All right? Romans chapter 8, verse 2, right? For the law of the spirit of the pneuma of Zoe, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, has made me free from the law of sin and death. Free from my leg bothering me, from my hip bothering me, from my neck bothering me, my fingers, whatever. Free from this infirmity, free from this sickness, free from this fever. All right? Free from this demonic oppression. The law of the spirit of life has given us all that in Christ Jesus. Amen. And we're freed from that. Praise God. So that's just an example. But the point is that, as he says in verse 32, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And sinners to repentance, here he's talking to sons of God.
Benji, stop.
Sorry, the dogs are inside. Sons of God, in other words, the righteous are the ones that are in Christ. Amen. So a sinner is the one that needs to repent of his sin to the Father. Not the world. The world receives Christ and the work that Jesus did, right? They don't confess their sins. If you confess, Romans chapter 8, verse, oh, I got to go to this one. Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10. Let's check this out. This is what the religious system does, all right? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Confession here is the word homologia, and it means to say the same thing as another. You see, in the Babylonian system, when a person gets born again, they want them to confess their sins, but that's not what the scripture says. He says you confess the Lord Jesus with your mouth and you believe with your heart that God has raised him from the dead. That's what the world receives, all right, the work of God, the work of what Christ did. But when you come into the kingdom of God and you blow with God, you repent to God. You ask God to forgive you, amen, and anybody else you offended, right? So that, therefore, I didn't come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance, amen? He's here. We're involved here in the earth to bring the message of the kingdom of God everywhere we go and bring the dominion of God and bring the kingship of God, because we are kings and priests, all right? The dominion of God, the king of a domain. Every king has a domain. The domain, in that domain, you rule. And then we serve the people, right? Melchizedek. We serve our families. We serve the body of Christ. We serve the world. Amen? Not misrepresenting the Father, but representing the Father in right attitude and motive and compass and disposition, the way we carry ourselves. All right? Now, look at this. 1 Timothy 1, all right, verse 6. Praise God. 1 Timothy 1, 6. For which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling. The word jangling here is the Greek word mata logia, random talk, in other words. You see, vain jangling, random talk. You know, you got brothers that have fellowships and they're preaching and they're teaching. Vain jangling. They're not even moving with God. It's just because I know a teaching, I'm going to bring forth the teaching. You see? And they spend all week, you know, a lot of them trying to get a message for Sunday. You know, oh, I can use that in my message. Many times they've said to me, is it okay if I use that in my message, brother, for Sunday? Yeah, man, whatever. What do I care, man? This all came from God. It didn't come from Joseph, brother Joseph. And then verse 7, he says, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor where they affirm. They don't even know what to affirm, right? What to strongly assert, okay? And then in verse 9, he says, knowing this, that the law is not made for the righteous man. You see, you can't live in the law anymore as a righteous man. But for the lawless, God, the reason God gave us ordinances to expose lawlessness. And so the purpose of the ordinance is to come under the authority of the ordinance, right? But when you disobey the ordinance, you disobey the authority. So was made for the righteous, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for a lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for the sinners, for holy and for profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers. You see, this is why law is made, to bring all that under forcefully. And I don't want to be brought forcefully under authority. I want to submit to my own heart, my own willingness, right? And so, so again, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, that word sound again is anything that's contrary to good doctrine, healthy doctrine, free from mixture of errors, uncorrupt doctrine, right? And I want to look at that word, men stealers, slave dealers. Plenty of that going on, man. People getting picked up, you know, for trafficking and different things, and man. So, okay. Now, the thing about all this is that the foundation of what we're built on, right? The scripture teaches us in 2 Timothy 2:19, let's go to that. 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, amen, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The foundation of God has this seal. It's already been prepared. You see, this foundation of Jesus Christ, the stone which the builders rejected, that foundation is sealed. You see, and because it's sealed, we can stand on it. And because we are also sealed, you see, we can stand on God, and therefore we can go and represent God. In other words, we can be sent to represent. All right? The Lord knows them that are his, having this seal. The Lord knows them that are his. God already knows what foundation you're on. If you're on the foundation of the Babylonian system, guess what? That thing's coming down. Babylon the Great is fallen, as it teaches in Revelation, I think chapter 18. You see? Let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. If you're going to be involved in the kingdom of God, you've got to turn away from iniquity and perversion, right? And that's how it is that so you've got all this perversion that's taking place out there in the Babylonian system, all these teachings and trainings and things that are people being involved in, you know, that are not sound doctrine. All right? And the thing about it is this foundation is Jesus Christ. John 1:1, right? The Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. The Word is God, you see? And that Word is the foundation, Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, the foundation of God has this seal. It's already sealed, amen? And therefore, we can bank on it. We can stand on it, knowing that if we stand on the Lord, if we stand on His Word, God will fulfill His Word. The Scripture says in Jeremiah, He watches over His Word to perform it. And that Job 36:11, and that if they obey and serve Him, they spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures because they're standing on the right foundation. Amen? And all this has to do with understanding authority, because the ordinance is the authority. The ordinance is from God, and therefore it came from authority. All right? Now, some stand with Jesus in doctrine, but they don't serve Him, and they serve Him in the principles of Satan, right? He's going to say to many of them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you, because you were coming from the wrong foundation. All right? Obedience to His will is the Word of God. The will of God, the will of God, the Word of God, the way of God, the work of God is obedience to God's Word, God's will. The will of God is the absolute thing, not the cup, all right, but the will of God. We've got to come forth from the right motive, the right spirit, the right source. And if you're sitting there and harming yourself, for example, sacrificing yourself, you're of the wrong order. Because it's deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me, right? So, Paul, on the road to Damascus, right, he encountered authority. And when he encountered authority, he met divine order, divine authority. The Lord, he said, well, Lord, what would you have me to do in verse? I didn't put it up there, but he said, Lord, what would you have me to do? Now, this thing about the word Damascus here is the road to Damascus, right? The definition for that word is silent as a sackcloth weaver. Jesus is the one that's weaving all this together in your life, silently. Right? Moving in and out of your life, making things happen. Amen? And so, again, Paul in Philippians 3:8, he says that I may gain the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Not only my Lord, but my Savior, you see? So, it's not just being a savior of our lives and you're going to heaven. That's not even the goal. The goal is to bring you to maturity. And we talk about that, right? We're going to win a lot of souls for the Lord today. I won a lot of souls. No, you gain spirits, right? People got born again in their spirit, man. But they still got a discipleship to go through, training to go through, right? Even as Jesus spent 3.5 years with these brothers, man. And we have to understand, too, that authority is on three levels. You got the house, the house, the house. You got spiritual authority, the assembly of God, why God is bringing forth the assembly, amen, to be a unit in the earth, to make some things happen, all right, in the earth, in the realm and the space of moving demonic activity, demonic seed, demonic perversion in a great, great results, in other words. And then you have civil authority in the world, right? You have police, you have grocery stores, you have, you know, all these organizations and places. And then you have domestic authority, family, right? There's authority in the home. Amen. And God teaches us, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Is it 10 or 11? 1 Corinthians 10, or 1 Corinthians 11, I think. The ordinances, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 10. No, chapter 11. Yeah. So, yeah, the order of the home, right? God over Christ, Christ over man over woman, amen? And why it's important to maintain authority, and we've talked about that, is because the door stays closed to the demonic activity, demonic realm. And the first place we contact authority is in our homes. You see, as a young man, as a young little girl, amen, we understand authority in the home. That's the structure of the home, is to teach us. One of the things that it does, it teaches how to operate in authority. You know, like my son, one of my sons, you know, he's, I think he's gotten 4 raises now, you know, and all he does is represent. And he keeps getting honored and keeps getting honored and keeps getting honored. So all authorities of God, if we resist the ordinance, we resist authority. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Now, in Ezekiel 43:10, I want to read this one. You know, talking about learning the ordinances of God and why we need to have authority and why we need to understand authority. And again, part of the maturity as a son of God is you start recognizing and understanding authority. So in verse 9 here, he says that, now let them put away their whoredoms and their carcasses of their kings far from me, and I will dwell in the midst of them forever. Now, thou son of man, show the house to the house of Israel, that they may be ashamed of their iniquities, and let them measure the pattern. You see, when we start encountering God, when we start encountering God on 3 levels, right? You know, the outer court, the holy place, and the holy of holies. And we start coming in and moving into God and declaring God more. As you've turned from iniquity in your lives, right, then you will now begin to understand what the pattern is. What is the purpose of God? Make this tabernacle according to the pattern that I showed thee in the mount. And it says in verse 11, and if they be ashamed of all that they have done, show them the form of the house, the fashion of the house, the goings out of the house, the coming ins of the house, and all the forms of the house, and all the ordinances of the house, and all the forms thereof, and all the laws of the house, and write it in their sight, that they may keep the whole form thereof, and all the ordinances of the house thereof, and do them. This is the law of the house. Upon the top of the mountain, the whole limit thereof round about shall be most holy. Behold, this is the law of the house. You see, as the scripture says, root out, pull down, throw it and destroy it, then build and plant. If a son of God or daughter of God is willing to come into the kingdom of God, right, see the kingdom, you must be born again. You must be born of the water and of the spirit to enter into the kingdom and begin to understand the ways of the fathers. And you got to put away all that offends, all that turns you away from God. Amen. Now, God's change your lives, Jesus said in Matthew 4:17, God's kingdom is here. But not only is this kingdom here, the will of the kingdom, the word of the kingdom, the way of the kingdom, the work of the kingdom is here. You see, through Jesus Christ. And he came and he showed us on earth as it is in heaven. The culture of heaven is already operating and running with no problems. And we are now to bring that culture into our own personal lives, into our domestics with our wives and our husbands and our children. And then we bring that kingdom of God right on out there into the world. We operate according to civil authority. And then when we come into the assembly, we operate in divine order and divine authority. You see, we operate under elder rule, not pastor rule. And I don't want to get into that. But if you listen to those outlines that I posted earlier, it talks about all that. Let me post it again. They cover a lot of subjects, boy, and they're getting into it, you know, quite a bit. All right, so here's that outline again. I'm going to post it again. I'm sorry, not outline. These are podcasts that were done by Brother Andy, and they're talking about kingdom culture and kingdoms, Babylon versus the kingdom versus the church, spiritual authority concerning the Matikos, all these wonderful, wonderful teachings and discussions. So again, let's go back to the outline. So show the house to the house. So Jesus, when God's kingdom culture was revealed in Jesus Christ, and he showed us the will of God, the word of God, the way of God, the work of God on earth as it is in heaven. He showed us the pattern. I am the way, he said. The eternal kingdom in heaven was revealed to us on earth. But guess what? You cannot receive the kingdom of God without having the Spirit of God. You can't understand the things of the God, things of God or of the Spirit of God without the things of God or the word of God or the kingdom of God without the Spirit of God. And that's 2 Corinthians chapter 2. All right. Let me just quote that verse. I don't like it when I refer to something and it's not complete. All right. But the natural man, the word natural here is suke, sukikos man, the soulish man, the man that lives after himself, receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. You can't receive this kingdom of heaven in earth and represent God in earth as it is in heaven, if you don't have the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. You see, when you have the Spirit of God, you're able to discern the things of God. You're able to understand the things of God. You're able to judge the things of God and relate it to your own life and the lives of your families and so on. Now, when Jesus ascended and he gave gifts, right? He gave the gifts that were already in heaven. He brought them down and gave them to mankind, men, not women. All right, and I've covered that. If you want to go look at that, 1 Corinthians 7:1 is the same word for man as it is in Ephesians 4:8, and God gave gifts unto men. All right, so the Holy Ghost, when Jesus ascended, he gave gifts, and when the Holy Ghost descended, he gave manifestations, charismas, and so on. The Father and his sovereignty revealed how it is in heaven through Jesus Christ. So understanding authority is that we have delegated authority and direct authority. If we only choose to know direct authority, we may violate more than half of God's authority. You see, because it's not just God's authority that we're dealing with. We're talking about authority everywhere we go. And so can we choose to obey direct or delegated authority? No, we've got to obey. It's all of God. Only the foolish must have the personal presence of authority. Right? And what shall the Lord do now when he the Lord of the vineyard came and so on? It says here, destroy the husbandman and give the vineyard to another. You see, the very stone of who Jesus Christ was rejected. And that stone was given to others. It was rejected by his own and his own received him not. Talking about Jesus. Now, Jesus was subject to earthly authority. In Luke chapter 2, verse 51, he was subject to his parents. He was subject to Caesar in Matthew 22, 21. In Matthew 26, 63 and 64, his response to the high priest. You see, even Paul, the way he responded to authority. So every act of insubordination is mutiny towards God. And so what we're involved in is and when we're out of order and we're constantly seeking to oppose God, we're involved in what's called the mystery of iniquity. In 2 Thessalonians 2, 7. We can't even see it. We're aiding the principles of Antichrist under this mystery of iniquity. And that's why we need our brothers and sisters that are walking in the Spirit. As the Scripture says in Galatians 6, 1, ye that are spiritual, restore. All right? The goal is to restore the body of Christ and the brothers and sisters back in alignment with God. All right? If an assembly has a testimony in the earth, it is due to obedience, and there Satan is defeated. You see, because we obey God and his word, amen, we have authority, amen, to destroy the devil. The kingdom of God begins where there is absolute obedience. 2 Corinthians 10, 1 through 8. I'm not going to read all that, but I'm going to cover that one in 1 Timothy 3:15. That's why I give you the outline, so you guys can go over them and so on. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. We've got to know how to conduct ourselves, right? And so, who gave the authority, right? The scripture says that Jesus said, all authority has been given unto me. Well, who gave it to Jesus? The Father. And so the purpose of authority is to build us up, edify us, strengthen us, all right? As in the very act of building a structure. In the kingdom of God, we build with lively stones. People are getting built up. In the religious system, Babylonian is getting erects buildings, all right? They don't understand authority. They don't understand the way of God. And so an authority is for your edification, not to destroy or to demolish. And so Paul in 2 Corinthians 13:10, according to the authority that God has given, right? God gave the authority. They didn't just take it upon themselves, all right, to start doing this work of God. Paul had an encounter with Jesus Christ on this road to Damascus. And as a result, God was able to take him and train him. And now, by the Spirit, begin to reveal the word of God to him. So much so that he spent time with the Lord in heaven. Amen. Wow. Father, I thank you, Lord God, for this opportunity, Lord God. And I thank you how you're training and teaching us how to understand authority, how to go in and out of authority, how to understand authority everywhere we go, in our jobs, in the civil realm, in the body of Christ, in our domestic realm. I thank you, Lord God, for my many brothers and sisters that are partaking and those that will partake, Father. And I bless you for your faithfulness, Lord, and watching over your word to perform it in each of our lives. In Jesus' name, I thank you for this, Lord. Amen.
Your